Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Cubs back in St. Louis tonight. They need to win this game. It is a must-win statement game, according to Dustin Rhodes.
I will say this. Tonight is a must-win statement game for the Cubs.
And a quality start is what they need from Jameson Taillon.
Did Dustin use that term?
No. I used the term. He rolled his eyes, as per usual.
Right-handed batter, open stance, feet very close together. Lines one down the left field line, a base hit into the corner. The Cardinals are going to take the lead. One run is in. Scott's going to score easily. And the Cardinals lead 7-5. Here's a deep drive to center. Going back is Cole Armstrong to the wall. Makes the catch. And Pete forgot how many out there were. And now the runner is going to try to score. And he does. Armstrong thought that was the third out in the inning. He put his head down. His teammates Suzuki and Tucker yelling for him to throw the ball in, and he realized too late. Tagging and scoring from second, Mason Winn, and the Cardinals lead 8-5. Tying run at third, go ahead run at second. Here's the 2-1. Swinging a big chop toward third, charging Arenado, bare hands it and throws to first in time. All game over.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Yeah, you just made a mistake.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Don't want to say it's full-blown panic, but can't help but notice that the lead is flitting away in the NL Central.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday. It is happy draft day.
Yes,
thank you. It's draft day in Chicago, right? We're going to...
Fair enough.
Not look away, but...
Look away. Let's look away.
No, we're going to embrace the draft. The Bulls have a big opportunity tonight, right? The pick 12th is going to be a lot of fun. There's some suspense maybe surrounding what they might do, but you're exactly right. It's hard to wake up this morning as much focus as we put on the Cubs and what they're doing in St. Louis without feeling a little deflated and concerned about the state of affairs after losing a second game in a row
right
at Busch Stadium.
First text I see this morning, so much for Dustin's statement game.
Well, the statement was, no, they made a statement. The statement was, we're struggling.
Yeah.
We're struggling.
Well, we've been making that statement.
Well,
no
but
question.
It was emphatically underscored, exclamation pointed last night, right? Because Jameson Taillon did what we kind of thought he might.
Yep.
The long ball was frequent, and it was one of those things where you give up three home runs, and we thought he might give up a couple.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think there'd be runners on base.
I thought we also agreed they'd be solo homers.
Yes, I thought that was going to be the case.
Thought we had agreed.
Because that way you could live with solo home runs.
Right.
But as it was, it's not really acceptable in a big moment in a tough stretch to come up that empty.
It was a big moment in a tough stretch, and they did come up empty. No shadow of a doubt.
And then everybody jumps on the – now it's – I'm getting texts from people at the game in the press box, and it's –
yes, because of
– Homerson Taillon.
Oh, wow.
Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All kinds of things.
I don't know. Not his fault. One of many. One of a whole group of people.
It's not all on Jameson Taillon, but he did give up 8 runs.
He did.
It's a lot of runs to give up, Mully.
It's, you know what was really interesting is he said that the game had been easy for him for the last 6 weeks, something like that, and that now it was difficult. It's interesting. That's a veteran guy, and he's been through it many times, and he knows that over the course of a single season, things can get tough.
They do. And the Cubs are in the midst of one of those tough stretches.
Yep.
They now are 4-6 in their last 10. Meanwhile, the Cardinals are 8-2 in their last 10, and the Brewers are 7-3 in their last 10. So they're losing while others are winning. The lead has shrunk. It's 2.5 games.
Yes.
But it's only June 25th, and there's a lot of baseball left. It might be the case that everybody's kind of getting closer to the middle, and the Cubs may not be as good as we thought. I don't want to acknowledge that yet. I think they still have capability to being that team. A lot's on Jed Hoyer right now.
Well, the Cubs have held off for a long time with some issues and knowing that they had some things that were not easy to get through.
The rotation?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so now it's kind of finally come home to nest, so to speak. And that's just life. That's how it goes. So you got to make a move, get something done. Listen.
But hear Craig Counsell
is the sight for sore eyes is Shohei Imanaga.
Yeah, he will be
back
tomorrow when he starts. That's going to be a welcome sight. You know,
holy
doubt
cow
about it.
Yep.
Craig Counsell says the struggle is good for Ben Brown, maybe for his baseball team. Little adversity never hurt. You've got to get back on track. You've got to pitch better. This is a pitching issue. The issues with Matt Shaw at third base or runners in scoring position. I still don't understand why Dansby Swanson's batting fifth. All these little things that I don't know what Pete Carlstrom's doing bunting with two runners on. All these little things, okay?
Yes, there's
but
a lot
the
of them.
Big yep problem is you've given up 54 runs in your last six games.
That's a big problem.
Do the math.
That's exactly what's happening.
You're not going to win many games like that.
No, you're not.
And then you've got PCA taking a mental vacation when he can least afford to do so.
And I just wonder if it's fair, given all the games that he's won for you up to this point, to do more than just point out that he made an error.
It's definitely fair.
I think you've got to take it into context with the season he's having.
Okay.
I really do.
I don't know that it buys you the benefit of the doubt. This is a young man that is very nonchalant at times. And when he's playing at the level he's been playing, MVP-like level, it's like, that's really cool.
Yes.
But I don't know that you can tolerate what he did because you lost 8-7. The eighth run was on him.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of what happened. I'm just saying, I have a hard time, given the amount of time that we've spent admiring him and talking about an MVP season and not just an all-star hitting another level above that. The guy made a blunder. He lost track of the outs, and he did so after signaling two outs. So he obviously had done. He had already lost track of the outs. It's just something that mentally can happen in the course of a game, in the course of one of our shows where you're not going to be perfect. I just can't get on that guy. If that became a standard where once a week, well, you know, there it goes. It's another one. But it's kind of a one-off to me. And I just think given everything that's going on, I cannot believe that we're going to now just spend a little bit of time dissing the guy. He made a mistake. I thought the coach put it really well. The manager, Craig Counsell, said that, yeah, he made a mistake. And he said basically that he made a mistake.
Everything Pete Carlstrom does is loud. And it's intentional. And it's enjoyable for the most part.
Right.
But when you have a player whose standards are as high as his, and that's for good reason. He's a immensely talented 23-year-old outfielder. He's also somebody who still, as he has performed like an MVP, is learning how to be a professional baseball player. I think this is part of it. This isn't like you're forever mad at Pete Carlstrom, but his mistake cost the Cubs last night in a big way.
I guess I just don't like the idea that all of the good work they've put in is flitting away, and now they got a 2.5. They had that. It felt like they had the division under control. Now they get a 2.5 point lead. And the team that you thought might be good this year, the team that you kind of were a little bit worried about on the outside, mm-hmm. was Cincinnati. They're only 4.5 back.
But
like, they've lost a lot of ground.
It's a good division.
The last week.
It looks like a good division.
The division looks better than it's been. And the idea that we're not going to give this guy a benefit of the doubt when he made that kind of blunder, it kind of, I don't know, man. I mean, it's fair enough. If everything's going wrong, that can't go wrong.
Well, no, see, I think they're unrelated. And I understand and respect where you're coming from, but I think what you do with Pete Carr Armstrong or any young 23-year-old outfielder has nothing to do with what's going on in your division. I think it's got to do with player development and the standards that you set and what you are tolerating as a manager. And as a manager, Craig Counsell has a very even keel. He's consistent, and he's the same guy every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was going to do this, if he's going to do nothing in the midst because it's Pete Carr Armstrong, he's got to treat Pete Carr Armstrong as if he was Owen Casey, who would come up and start, or whatever young player you want to substitute in there. He's still a young player learning how to be a major leaguer.
I agree with that completely.
Last night is something you can't accept.
But it's also a reminder mm-hmm. that he's still just a young guy, still figuring it out a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's
help him figure it out.
Some of the texts we're getting are just kind of PCA equals TA. I don't think so.
That's noise. That's noise. I'm not focusing on all that stuff. The feedback and the reaction. If they do nothing, that's fine, because it means that they are treating him in a different way because he has earned the benefit of the doubt and he's somebody who is different than the rest. But I think if you have a standard and you have a coach that's kind of a no nonsense approach to mental mistakes. This wasn't a physical mistake. They're not punishing him.
Listen, and there's no shadow of a doubt the guy made an error. That's a mistake. That's a mental error. It existed in time, and I just don't know that it's fair to kind of put it at more than that.
Okay. I would, because I think that...
You have. I got no problem with that. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying... Hey, remember the context of this guy's season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, oh, I don't know, 98% phenomenal.
No doubt.
2%
He's still everybody's favorite player. He's still a guy that you want to, you know, you're going to enjoy the rest of the season. But there are examples of players who are all-star caliber players that have to be reminded that, you know, every out matters.
I think you're absolutely correct on that one, man. There's no shadow of a doubt that the guy is an excitable guy and he made a mental error. Period. End of story. That's all I'm saying.
It was a nice little pirouette, though. It was a nice little spin at the wall.
Yeah, but see, that's what you're saying. You're saying he's a little more of a showman than he is a, you know.
It is.
I gotcha.
He is.
I gotcha.
I sat over there the other day, Friday. We had a nice 20-minute conversation, and PCA is as pleasant of a professional athlete as you are ever going to encounter.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change. Nothing changes. But I think if you're Craig Counsell, I would wonder what that conversation was like. And I would hope that he would have a difficult one, because he knows he made a mistake, and his teammates had his back, as they should.
Right.
All this stuff is...
He does it again. Okay. Then you think of it differently.
Yeah.
Start making those kind of mistakes regularly. Then you're obviously you're hitting a level that others have, and you start wondering. But I'm just saying, I it's a pity they lost that game, and it's a pity that he lost track of the outs. And that was a run. I mean, it's a mistake when you lose by a run. And the guy made an error that cost a run.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I'm just saying, tough one.
That's a tough one. Well, we can disagree. The Cubs lose. The Sox lose. Yep. And it was not really as close on the South side. The Sox, for a while, they hung in there. And then the Diamondbacks pull away. They win 4-1. And it's a very good team. Yep. And they're going to leave Chicago probably feeling like they're back into the NL West, because you'd like to see the other direction. They're a team you want to sell. Zach Gallen is pitching today, and you'd like him to be on the market for selfish reasons from the Cubs' perspective. But it looks like the Diamondbacks are
not
still
making their mind up soon.
They're not going to make their mind up anytime soon.
Yeah, that is a fair assessment of it. That's a pretty good team. We'll see. But they, as you say, both those guys, they've got two good pitchers that are running out of contract. And that is the kind of the key thing to remember, because if over the next few weeks they start slipping a little bit and they don't feel like they're in contention, then you start getting rid of contracts. That's just how life works. But the Marte thing was really upsetting on the South Side.
It was very upsetting.
It's awful.
You can tell Marte was at bat.
Yes.
He heard a fan who said something.
Well, you could hear everybody in that place.
Sadly. When it's that empty, it's an echo chamber.
That's right.
And everything, and the voices carry. And Ketel Marte heard somebody say something about his late mother who died in a car accident 8 years ago.
Right.
Reportedly, and then was visibly shaken to the point where Torrey Lovullo, when he was making a pitching change and the next time out on the field, the next inning, had to console him, and it was just something I have not seen before.
I agree with you. It's something you shouldn't ever see. It's just not a way to behave. I mean, fans yell stuff out. People don't think that they're going to hit somebody. You should never be yelling out anything about someone's mom, period, end of story. There are certain subjects that should be off of your mind and out of bounds, such as a man's late mother, and to yell some insult. And I can't imagine
what the motivation would be.
It's a real
dark place you have to go to.
Yes,
to say this is how I'm going to get under the skin of an opponent that I would like to see strike out. Oh, let's bring up his late mother's car accident 8 years ago.
It's crazy.
It just doesn't.
It's crazy.
And the fan reportedly was ejected.
Yeah.
As it should have been. And they should probably make sure that person doesn't see another Sox game.
Well, it's just not the kind of. I mean, I don't understand why you would yell something like that to the point where the guy breaks down crying, you know, as you're going to do with the loss of a family member. Mm-hmm. It's so out of bounds, and it just makes everybody that would go to a game look bad.
Well, it makes the organization look bad.
It makes everybody look bad,
and I don't think that there clearly wasn't much thought put into all the things we're talking about, because it was probably somebody overserved had an opportunity. He thought, well, Jesus, everybody could hear me, so I think he could probably hear me. I'm going to yell something. It's just bad.
It's awful. It's awful because, you know, it hit the guy. And, you know, it's just beyond mean, man. Like, you don't have to be, like, you cannot like someone. You can hope you win. You can try to throw someone off. But it was sad. It was just, it made me kind of feel like, you lose faith in humanity, which should never happen when you're talking about going to a ball game, for God's sake.
So they wrap up the series today. Zach Gallen against Sean Burke this afternoon. Noah Syndergaard, that was news yesterday.
Yeah.
They signed him to a minor league deal. He has an opt-out. If he's not up at a major league roster by August 1st, he can get out of that deal. And you wonder what condition he's in. So we'll see. He'll eat some innings. It would be really unexpected and maybe too much to ask to think that he could get up here and pitch well enough to be flipped by the deadline.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
That's in 30 days. That's a lot.
But if they do flip someone else, they're going to need to eat innings.
That's the point. That's why he's here.
Yes, and that's great.
That's great.
And as you mentioned earlier, draft day.
Draft day.
And we've got high hopes for the Bulls.
Do we ever?
We're hoping that the Bulls not only can draft a player who is going to impact them sooner as opposed to later, but who is going to impact them for a while, and we're hoping they also make, dare I say, a series of trades that will change everything.
Well, a series of trades might be a bit ambitious.
That might be.
Can it start with one?
That would be awesome.
Let's make one impactful trade if you're the Bulls. Draft
Any trade
one
would be impactful.
Yes, I know.
Because so they don't make trades.
Let's make a deal today, and then let's draft a queen tonight and go into the season with a little bit of a plan, a little different of a look, and see what happens.
I feel like Derek Queen is getting shot down everywhere I turn. So
I see that too.
Whatever we once thought
either,
would work,
well, okay, but either
is not going to work.
Either that's the case,
or they're laying in the weeds.
This is a very elaborate smokescreen.
But it seems like he's like they might get him in the second round now. I'm exaggerating, but it feels like he's taking on water. Like
I don't quite understand. It feels like the word on him is the.
Lack of athleticism. Not athletic enough to play
in an NBA up-tempo team and offense.
Yep.
I think that has taken on a life of its own. He came into the pre-draft process highly regarded. I think maybe top 10 consensus. And since that's happened, I don't know. If he's there and the Bulls pass on him at 12 for one of these young Frenchmen, I just don't know how I'm going to react. I'll keep an open mind, though.
I was looking up the Frenchman a bit, spending some time looking online.
Jean
Berger.
That's the guy.
I have to tell you, I had to stifle my laughter last night on the Chicago lead at Raitfield. Uh-huh. Casey Johnson sitting next to him. And the question was to him, you know, about the draft. And he came out, and I can't even say it without giggling. And the first thing he said was, one of the guys rising the most in this draft is Jean Berger.
It's like Berger, right?
He said Berger, I think. But I think Dustin's is more perfect.
Dustin's is so funny.
It's so good.
You were thinking of Dustin's?
Yes, I was.
Oh, that's great.
And I was thinking of that like, oh, man, that made me giggle.
Yeah, that'll make it good. That kind of made me smile myself. That's great.
But it also made me giggle because here we are talking about the Bulls with a rising prospect who's a big curiosity and didn't really pick up a basketball until 2021.
Yeah, I know. But you know what he was occupied with?
Playing soccer.
A little bit of
That's got you a little footy.
I just understand the the artwork it takes to be able to do that. Yeah,
it's a beautiful game.
It's not only that. It's like I would imagine that this guy has remarkable feet if he is good with the ball.
Tell me how playing soccer would make him better in the paint.
Think about a drop step, David.
Okay.
If you can move your feet, if you're light on your feet, you play well at most sports. You will be able to handle the footwork needed. Think about some of the big guys you've seen play basketball. Think about
not as nimble as you would like, right?
That's why there was a certain kid who played at Loyola. They got to a Final Four. He was a big man, but he was an under the basket big
Cameron Crutwig.
And he had great feet.
Yes.
He was very
light. Did he play soccer growing up?
He must have. But I think it does. It's an important element of footwork.
It's a valid point. If you're that tall and you have those kind of skills around the paint, close to the basket, and you can also have the footwork to be nimble enough, both defensively and offensively.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see the appeal.
It is. Listen.
But I haven't seen enough to know what they're getting. It's a fear of the unknown.
But you're also like, you're kind of fascinated with the idea as he's only played the game for 5 years.
Yes, I am fascinated by that.
But I think if he gets 5 more years under him, now all of a sudden he's going to be significantly better than guys
I should get off of?
I think no. I think it might be a positive for a guy that is, almost 7 feet tall.
Well, you don't have to worry about burnout.
And nimble and... Well, it's not burnout. It's just the idea that he has so much room for improvement. There's so much. If he has the competitive streak that you have to have in order to be a professional athlete, then he's ahead of the game a little bit. I like the idea that he's a blank canvas that you can teach whatever it is you believe you need to have in order to succeed.
So you would be somewhat excited and encouraged if they drafted Jean Berger.
Joan. I like it. I would be encouraged because he fits what they have stated they're looking for. He is an athletic guy that has some ability to block shots. And he is going to be able to run, and he's going to be able to play defense and offense. They're looking for a two-way guy that can run the floor.
There will be a lot of leaps of faith taken tonight.
There'll be a lot of blind faith
and blind leaps.
And there are certainly thousands of examples of that not working. But if you're picking 12th, I think you can't have boom or bust at 12. I think you're more likely to have bust than boom at 12. So if you get a guy where you might get a little boom out of him, that would be great.
I hear you. We'll talk about it all because we have Kendall Gill at 7:25 and Cody Westerlin at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Excellent. And yes, 309 texted. Maybe I do need a hug today. Does I need a hug today? Do I sound like I need a hug today?
I need one.
Dustin, definitely.
I need one.
Why don't you guys?
That Cubs game and that ride in this break, morning, I need
it
out.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you're leaving, if you're hearing my voice right now, leave. Yeah. Go to work, get to work.
And be careful
it's
out there.
It's a bad yeah. commute. A
lot of standing water.
Bad
be
commute,
careful out there.
A lot of standing water and a lot of people driving through it kind of blindly and sailing you're going to get hit by some massive
don't be PCA.
Of water.
Pay attention to the details.
There you go. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. We're going to get into it. We got the pick six next. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Who will the Bulls draft with the 12th pick? Will they take the young Frenchman, whose name Casey Johnson said recently? Will they move up for him? Do they want to give him the stock? Has he risen? Could the Bulls trade out of the 12th spot? Be it up or down?
I love that you won't say the name after you've already said it. We have the audio.
Jean Bergeron. Why say it again when we have it on Memorex?
Because it delights us to hear you speak in a French accent. I hope they take that kid. I hope they take someone like him. I hope they take a player that will fit the way they want to play. And I hope they trade the current center that doesn't fit the way that they want to play. I hope that a lot happens tonight. I kind of hope they don't take a guard. I just think I'm done with the Bulls drafting guards, taking guards, signing guards. You can get rid of a couple if you want. You know, feel free to trade a couple guards away.
Which couple? Well, Kobe White?
I feel like if they didn't, if that report is true and they didn't trade him already, why would you trade him now? Like, I don't think they're going to get the same kind of offer. I don't think that's like a standing offer sitting out there. So I feel like they made a decision that they weren't going to trade him. And I'd be surprised if they were to trade him tonight. But Lonzo Ball, you want to trade Lonzo? Please go right ahead. I love Io, Illini. But if they want to trade Io, I would not stand in the way of something like that because guess what? They've got an abundance of players at that position and they got to clear some of those contracts out. And you hate the idea of losing something for nothing. You just hate that idea. So I would have no problem if they traded a couple of guys. I think they should. I think they should change the way they look and they should be different. I don't know that they're going to be able to get a player at 12 that is as good as this French kid who seems to be on the rise. KC said his name is hot and that he's moving up. And in fact, the Bulls may have to get on their horse and go get this kid if they really want him, which I know would delight you since he has a background in soccer and has good feet.
It has nothing to do with it. I don't want them moving up.
I just make it a joke. But yeah, I that's fine. I'm excited right now for anyone they get, provided it's the right position.
I just, I'm so confused by all of it. I mean, you've got one guy from The Athletic who lives in Australia covering the NBA draft. One guy's got his name on a board. The rest of the folks don't even have his name in the top 30.
Dustin, he's invited to the green room. He's invited to the top 24 players are invited to the draft. He's one of them.
Oh, then by all means, the Bulls should take him at 12.
No, I'm just saying.
Can't we just, as a city and as a team, and we got the same thing going on with the Blackhawks. There's all this. They got the third overall pick, and it's like a kiss of death. Like, how about draft somebody who's had one shining moment? How about somebody who's played on a big stage here in town? This is another one of these guys that won the combine. You know, he's 6'10". He's got the wingspan of a 7'5" guy. Blah, 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 blah.
I hope they take Derek Queen. I hope they take Derek Queen from Maryland, because I think that if he drops to 12, to me, you don't stay away from people because he may not fit your scheme or your style. Yeah, I know that teams do that all the time, but I think that if he's talented and he is productive, you could envision him being a excellent NBA player at 12, then you take him because you don't want to lose him. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know about Jean Beringer. I don't know much about him. If they draft him, I will keep an open mind. It seems like they like him. It seems like he's rising in the eyes of many teams. I think that Colin Murray Boyles also is another guy who is attractive to a lot of teams because of his defensive capabilities. He's an undersized power forward. Maybe he is somebody they like too. I want them to take Derek Queen. I fear they're going to take Beringer, but I do believe they likely will take Asa Newell. I think Asa Newell, the big man from Georgia, he gives me some Joakim Noah vibes at times. He could be somebody you could get behind. You could contribute as a rotation guy, as a rookie. And I think that of all of the range of possibilities, and I think there it's a wide range tonight, maybe wider than normal, I think that Asa Newell would make a lot of sense. I'll tell you what will make me a little bit cringy is if, as much respect as I have for what he's accomplished and where he came from and the ILLINI, but if Kasperis Jakusconis is a Bull at the end of tonight, I'm going to cringe a little bit because I don't think that's a good choice. It's too duplicate. It's too much of a duplicate part with Josh Giddey, and I think they have other needs that are more pressing.
You know, I've been asked that question before.
That's the voice of Kendall Gill. How would you evaluate Jameson Taillon's start against the Cardinals in what I termed a must-win statement game? What was the statement, and how are we feeling about the Cubs team that hasn't won a series over a winning team since late April?
The statement was, we're struggling. The statement was, we might not be as good as you think we are. This week, the last week has been tough. Jameson Taillon has to figure out why he keeps giving up so many home runs. And he's third to think in baseball and giving up home runs. So it's not just a bunch of guys sitting around a radio studio saying, you know what, there goes another one. What's wrong with J-Mo? This is a problem. The Cubs have to try to address it. This is a tough stretch of the schedule. They haven't beaten a team with a 500 record or better in a series since late April. Bruce sprung that on me last night. I did not realize that. So it's a little bit of a Cubby crisis, but I do think they can get through it.
Well, I hope they can get through it. The statement was that Jameson Taillon went out of his way to say that he needed to address the home run ball, and then he gave up three more. And I don't want to hear, well, it's humid. You know, when it's humid out, the ball is likely. Okay, then change the pitch. Change the pitch. Don't find so much. I mean, even his own skipper talking about the fact that Taillon found too much of the white, too much of the plate, and they deposited it. The offense finally wakes up a little bit, okay, gives them a lead, and he immediately gives it back. Immediately with the long ball. With the long ball. So, I mean, Kyle Tucker actually looked like a $400 million player last night.
Three hits?
Three hits.
How about that?
Yeah. Big moments all the way through. Kyle, so that and the fact that Nico Hoerner finally hit a home run, those were the positives. But come on, you got to win a game. And now, you know, it's great that Shota's coming back. But now there's going to be all this pressure on him. God forbid they lose tonight. Now all of a sudden, Shota's got to save the day in his first start back against the arch rival. And how about nobody showing up again? There was less people there last night than the night before. It's crazy.
Who needs a hug?
Yeah.
Me.
Toya.
Not from you, though.
I honestly think the statement that Jameson Taillon made is, I'm not the ace. I'm not more than a third starter. I belong and I'm good enough, but I'm not that good. And we've gone a long time without having our top two pitchers. And guess what? We need them back. That's the statement. That's the one I heard. And it doesn't mean the guy can't pitch. Doesn't mean he does give up too many home runs. We've picked up on that before, and we've asked about it a couple times. I don't think it's helping our asking about it.
It doesn't.
But it sure is true. And, you know, when he gave up the first homer of the game, I thought, like, ooh, two-run shot. He's following the lead of Ben Brown, and that didn't go very well. I felt relieved when he gave up a solo homer because that's what he should be doing.
Because nobody was on base.
Exactly. You can't keep giving up two-run homers. How many did they hit? They hit five in a row at one point, thanks to yesterday. So, I we're kind of joking around about it, but they've gone a long period of time without really needing their starting pitching back. But I think that losing Steele and then losing Shota, it felt like a question of time before they were going to replace him and a question of time before they were really going to miss him. And I think we've reached that time. We've reached the time where those two guys have been out a little bit too long. And now you're kind of feeling it a little bit too much. And so you've lost some ground as a result of it. And it's a pity because they had really done a good job of opening up the season, building a nice wall for themselves, and unfortunately it's been penetrated, and they need to turn it around. They need to turn it around yesterday.
I understand the question.
I just love the sigh, right, by counsel there. I feel like every time. Any surprise that Brent Brown was demoted to AAA as reliever Porter Hodge activated? Did Brown's demotion seem inevitable after Monday night's wretched 4-2-run homer spree with Shota coming back Thursday? Did this just buy the Cubs a couple of days? Is it wise to leave Brown stretched out with starts in Iowa?
Yes, all the way around on all that stuff. I think that it was no, and we all felt the same way. And I think the very fact that he had outs and you could demote him without losing him off the roster, that made it a lot easier. And they're not going to demote. They're obviously not going to outright Colin Ray or anything like that. They're going to move him to the bullpen. So you know you got to move a guy to the bullpen. You got a guy coming back. They still have a move they're going to have to make. They're probably going to have to get rid of a bullpen arm that will wind up elsewhere. I don't know who has outs left, but I think that this was an easy decision because you send him down. You let him stay stretched out. You get him starts. Maybe he works on another pitch. Maybe you start thinking about his future and about getting him to the position he needs to be in. It was like it was an emergency call-up because they needed someone at the time. And now, since then, Horton has come back, and he has exceeded Brown. And I think it's not that he's not a good player or his career's over. He just probably wasn't ready for that run, needs another pitch. So you can get him in Iowa and you can work with him and you can get another pitch going and you can see how you're going to develop him and get him better so the next time he comes up, he sticks. And it might be this year. Who knows? I don't think you can afford to really lose the guy mentally. You give him a nice pep talk about going down there, we need to get you doing this, or you tell him, hey, listen, we have no one else that has options, so you're the only guy that can really help us out here, and we're sorry, but our plan is to bring you back before the year's done, and you know, you try to soft sell it and make them feel like it's really just a parade for them.
Definitely a move that needed to be done. Part of it, though, is because he had options. We mentioned that yesterday. He had options. Others don't have options. Do you leave him stretched out? Absolutely, because you don't want to get paper thin it with starting pitching. You don't want to do that. So we'll see. I just it's just amazing, big picture, though. Like, how does a guy he's so talented at the lower levels, and as a young man, he's still a young man, Ben Brown. But the fact that he gets to this point on two pitches, like that somebody along the way didn't get to him and say, hey, listen, you know, this is going to work in high school. This might work in single A. But once you get to the big leagues, like, I'm just surprised that and I'm not blaming the Cubs. I think maybe this is something interesting to ask Tommy Hotovy about. But you know, how does a guy get to that point and just have two pitches?
Especially a guy who seems to really embrace all of the analytics and all of the new technology. We see him enthusiastically do those spots with Lance Brozdowski in spring yes. training and talk about all of the things that make modern pitching so interesting. And yet he's the guy limited by his array of pitches. That does not seem to add up. You're right, Dustin. I think that in Ben Brown, they do have a very talented guy who's young and can still be salvaged, and he has a bright future. Getting demoted to Iowa, as disappointed as he is, does not have to be a sentence
right.
or a punishment. It's just because that's the way it works right now. I think it's a tough needle to thread, because if, in fact, Jed Hoyer is as committed to getting a starting pitcher, and if he gets one as fast as Bruce seems to think that he will, then Ben Brown might be of best use to you as a reliever, because you don't have room in the starting rotation the rest of the season. And then you're balancing what's best for the development of a player, which might be leaving him as a starter in Iowa, versus what's best for your team, which might be having him as a late inning swing and miss high velocity relief pitcher out of the bullpen. Those are the things that you have to balance. And I don't think you can do it yet, because you don't have the ace to be named later yet. So Ben Brown, I think, can still be a big part of this Cubs season and team and bullpen. I don't know if he's going to make more contributions as a starter. If he does, either somebody's gotten injured or Jed hasn't come through.
It's a great question.
What did you make of Brian Bannister's detailed answer to Chuck Garfine about why the Sox temporarily shut down pitcher Hayden Smith in Double-A? Does that guy's transparency make you believe more in their rebuild? Is his honesty a sign of strength? What do you expect from Smith on Saturday, since going out with elbow soreness on May the 10th?
Don't know what to expect from Hagen Smith on Saturday, but that's a highly anticipated return. I think you expect a lot in terms of just seeing that he's healthy and ready, and maybe this layoff has been helpful. Every time Brian Bannister speaks and is in much detail, the transparency tells me that this is a guy that could run a baseball team one day. And maybe it will be the White Sox. I don't know. But the more he talks, the more you think that he knows what he's talking about. So as much as the Hagen Smith thing might have been originally disappointing news, I kind of get it more the more he explained it. And that was a really good interview, Chuck Garfine, on the White Sox podcast.
Excellent. Really, you should listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, to get to the point, these guys have never thrown that many pitches in a season, that many innings in a season, and you got it. You should protect. This is a really good prospect. This is somebody that could be an ace on a staff someday. So you definitely want to protect that, and that's a good thing that they're smart enough to protect this investment. I think he will be on a very, very limited pitch count moving forward for the rest of the season, but they're not going to bubble wrap him either.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that he's on his way back. You know, it was really an interesting interview. And what he said, he talked about biomechanics. He talked about how the guy was not doing some of the stuff he did at college, that he stopped, and that was creating an arm problem. So, you know, he had a sore shoulder, and instead of they shut it down, they went through it, and they figured out what he was doing wrong and what had changed, and then they worked with him on it, and now he's ready to come back. That's really a good sign. It tells you just kind of how good they are at what they're doing. And I think as we have said quite often, they got somebody up there that knows what they're doing with pitching. And I
yes.
think we've identified who it is. And he's identified himself by every time he talks about it, you just sit there like you learn something. It's really just an excellent element to have in your organization, and it signifies that things are working differently and hopefully better.
It's a good question.
That's the voice of Chris Chelios, 844 with Mully and Haw. What do you think of first when you think of Duncan Keith, the newest Blackhawk member of the Hockey Hall of Fame? How many Hawks from that era will get into the Hall of Fame that number two has been elected?
Well, Duncan Keith, obviously. You know, I mean, that's one of the most extraordinary things I think any of us has ever seen, a guy lose it. How many teeth did he lose?
Seven
teeth.
Seven teeth.
Lost seven teeth in a game.
How many shifts did he miss?
And one. Two?
One.
And he missed a shift, and he came back out. I mean, think about it. It was unbelievable. He had, like, gauze and looked like tissues where his teeth used to be to help soak up the blood while he came out and played. The guy was a phenomenal player. He was well earned the right to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. All the wonderful stuff they did. I think we know the names of the guys that are headed to the Hockey Hall of Fame. You know, by a mile, Marian Hossa deserved and belonged there, and he's there. He's just one of the great players. There's no question that the captain belongs there, that Kaner belongs there. There's no shadow of a doubt. I guess Seabrook probably gets in. The two of them were together. I would say it's going to be Corey Crawford could well get in.
Mm.
I'm not saying he can't get in. That would be an interesting one to look at. I think there are spots for Blackhawks that have yet to be taken, and there's probably going to be a ceremony where you're going to see a number two retired. We can talk to Chelly about what that's like. I know getting in the Hall of Fame, getting your jersey retired, is you got to be some of the greatest, just the greatest achievements you will achieve. You guys will always, especially for someone like Chelly who's from here. But, I mean, you know, all those guys are from here because they were great Blackhawk players. And Duncan Keith, as we once called him, was as good a defender as the Blackhawks have ever had. And that includes Chelly.
Probably the glue of that run, right? Not the biggest star. That was Kaner, obviously. Not the captain. That was Jonathan Toews. But the Keith, the minutes the guy played, and then all the playoff games. So, I mean, you know, the guy probably played like a whole extra season on top of because of all the playoffs. The guy's just a machine. Of course,
what's your fitness level like to be able to do? You know what I'm saying?
Outstanding. You're right. But unfortunately, with that group, I don't know that it gets much past four or five, and you mentioned, but
that's a lot though.
No, yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, David, I'm gonna concede to you, but yeah. I mean, I don't think Corey Crawford
could get in. He's got two cups, they could get in,
could get in.
Yeah,
again,
yeah,
you
right.
know how I feel about Hall of Fames. As
yeah.
soon as you say could, you're not
right. That's
I'm
a good
just,
point.
I mean, there are four that jump off the page, and after that, it's maybe kind of sort of. And I don't know the answer to this. Is this like the Basketball Hall of Fame? Is this also about international play? Is it college related? What I'm saying is this the NHL Hall of
yeah,
Fame?
Or, no,
so,
it's
and then you know
the Hockey
so
Hall
so
of Fame.
Some guys you know on you know world championships, any Olympic championships, could that come into play and help a guy out?
Duncan Keith was an example of just sheer stamina and relentlessness every single night. And the reason he was able to do what he did and stay on the ice longer than anybody was because he took care of his body and he took care of every bit of his fitness regimen was the stuff of legends. His nutrition commitment was what everybody copied. This guy took care of himself. I'm surprised he stopped playing when he did. I think he stopped playing when he did because he wanted to be around his family. I don't think he stopped playing when he did because he couldn't play anymore. I bet you this guy could put on a pair of skates and go out and still be the one an impressive two-way defenseman for somebody if he wanted to. But he doesn't want to any longer, and you respect that. He is where he belongs, in the Hall of Fame. You've got Kaner, you've got Taze, you've got Hossa, you've got Duncan Keith, and maybe Corey Crawford, maybe. But I think other than that, from that era, I don't think Patrick Sharp is a Hall of Famer. I think he had a really good NHL career. Those are, you know, the guys who were consistently producers on that on the best team. But the last team that won in 2015, 10 years ago, Duncan Keith won the Conn Smythe. And he was as dominant in that playoff run throughout those 2 months as any player ever has been in Blackhawk history. And so, Duncan Keith, congratulations. He's where he belongs.
That's a rhetorical question.
Okay.
Is it not?
Were you amused to hear new Steeler QB Aaron Rodgers say he's pretty sure the 2025 season will be his last during an appearance on the Sleeveless Punter, Pat McAfee show?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
Amused by that statement?
I'm not sure I'm buying it. I think that Aaron Rodgers, if he plays at a high level and comes up just short, he may want to come back, and we're going to play this game. He likes the attention, and I think he likes the game that this is involved in, guessing what he's going to do. But if he's good, I think he may have a couple seasons left. If he's bad, it's an easier decision. I do think if he's healthy, he'll be more good than bad. But also, you have to factor in guys who talk about retirement sometimes mentally are checked out. And if he's mentally checked out, he's not going to be very good. They need him all in. So this kind of all the things that he has said, if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't care about the other stuff and his personal life. His teammates were saying he was much more engaging than they anticipated. But I do think that if I'm Mike Tomlin and I hear a guy talking about retirement, I'm probably going to have a conversation before training camp and tell him to maybe, you know what, are you in or are you not?
Well, if he went away, I'd be fine with that for lots and lots and lots of reasons. But even more amusing than that quote that we played, and maybe we'll play it later, maybe we won't, but he talked about, like, you're never going to see me again. After this, I'm going away. I want to be private. I want to be unknown. I want to live a life outside of. Then why do you do all this? You're not required to do it. That's the part that I don't believe. And would a network, would an Amazon, would a Netflix, would a four-letter network, would an ABC, would an NBC, would a CBS, would a Fox back up the Brinks truck for a guy like this? Do people want to hear from him? And will his ego let him just slip away into the darkness? You're going on a show that you don't have to go on to, that you get paid handsomely, by the way, to go on to, telling us that you're sick and tired of living in the public light. Then just put your helmet and shoulder pads on and go play football for the Steelers and walk away. Don't do this interview.
Yeah, when I saw this, I laughed just because here's what I don't buy. He claims, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it, and that's why we only did a one-year deal. They only did a one-year deal because he was only offered a one-year deal. They didn't offer him a two-year contract because they don't want to go through the rigmarole that you got to go through with this guy trying to figure out if he's coming back. Or, you know, here's how do you know Aaron Rodgers is coming back? If no one wants him, he'll come back, right? If he has an option and you don't want him, then you know he's coming back. So you may as well not give him the 2 years. Give him the one-year deal and then see if he wants to come back after that. Then he has to come to you. Then he has to express that. It is all an attention grab. That's kind of what this guy does. I do not – if he goes away – into darkness, he will want you to know that he's on a darkness retreat from the world and that you've driven him to the point where he's going to go away into darkness. He can't help himself. It's who he is. Did you hear him talk about how private his wife is, and if she wishes to come out and talk, and then that'll happen. If she wants a photo out there, it'll happen, but she's a very private person. I'm kind of like his family. I'm very skeptical. I think the whole thing's absurd.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he's going to probably be a decent quarterback for them, though.
Oh, I think
he's going to make him better.
I like him.
Yeah.
I mean,
the other stuff is noise.
The rest of it's noise.
On Sundays, he'll be pretty good.
I played 20 frickin' years. I mean, you know, give me a break with the frickin' years you played.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Anyway, we got the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Should Craig Counsell bench PCA today after PCA's nonchalant catch of a fly ball and forgetting how many outs there were, allowing the Cardinals to score what turned out to be the winning run in a loss Tuesday night?
I love the way the Cub teammates supported PCA after the game. I love the way that this second-year player who's had an MVP-like first half, has already gained the respect of the veterans in that clubhouse enough to have them rally around him when the question came up about how that mistake, his nonchalant catch at the warning track and then his little spin, cost the Cubs a run in an 8-7 loss. I applaud that. I admire that. But I don't know if you're Craig Counsell, if you can tolerate that. It depends on what you want to be. It depends on how you manage this team, and we're not there every day. We don't know how the personalities mesh and what this might imply and all the other things. I was just as frustrated with PCA when he bunted with runners in scoring position, and I don't want that guy taking the bat out of his hands. No, I didn't like that either. That was maybe from the dugout. I don't know, but if it was just him, then I think that would add and exacerbate the other mental mistake, because it was a mental mistake. It wasn't a physical mistake. It wasn't a striking out with bases loaded or something where you just couldn't come through, or even a physical error. A mental error to that degree, and it was a little bit nonchalant, a little bit showboaty. If you're Craig Counsell, I would support him and understand if he benched him today. Other people are going to have different standards. Different managers are going to have different approaches. In Pittsburgh, we saw O'Neill Cruz benched for loafing down the first baseline. He has more of a history than PCA, so certainly I understand sometimes that factors in as well. Pete Crow Armstrong is my favorite Cub player. I love everything about him. His exuberance, you heard his personality on the interview last Friday. All of that is not any different if you make a statement to him and you draw a line and said you can't cross it. That was wrong. We're going to sit there and think about it. And I don't know that if I'm Craig Counsell, he probably won't do that. But if he did, I would understand it and support it.
There is absolutely no shot. No shot. Now, he might not be in the lineup today because it's a road game and they have taken a beating. But it's not going to be because of this. I didn't have a chance to look it up exactly. But, I mean, nonchalant. I think that's tough. Like when somebody says your effort was nonchalant, that is a rough adjective to throw on what somebody did, in my opinion, or didn't do, how they acted. I'm trying to rewatch the video because if you can only imagine my reaction.
Every time
to
he
it
catches a
in
ball,
real time,
a fly ball, it's nonchalant. Nonchalant is casual.
Yes.
Very casual.
Too casual.
Too casual.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen him. I just saw it literally in real time. I've seen much worse from him. And he, listen, they're only 2.5 games up. This is part of the problem. If they were 5 games up, I'd give him a day off. But you can't take your best player or your second best player and sit him down and then all of a sudden be a game and a half up, and then have be only up a half. God forbid you get swept out of St. Louis. That's part of the equation. I'm almost more upset about the bunt than I am about the nonchalant catch.
I don't think you can afford.
I hope we ask guests about the fact that David Haw called his efforts nonchalant.
I'm fine with that word.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's not an insulting word. It's an accurate depiction
description of what
he does every single fly ball.
I find it insulting.
I don't have much to say about how you find nonchalant. I'm nonchalant about it. I would say that you just can't afford to bench the guy right now. The other thing is, you can't come out of a game, say, he made a mistake. He just made a mistake. Forgive him and make an excuse for him, which is, I know, the excuse being he made an error. And then bench him. That would signify that it's stuck in your craw and you can't get past it. And I think, Dave, it's stuck in your craw and you can't get past it. And if you were Craig Counsell, you would bench him. But
I'm okay with acknowledging that.
Yeah,
everybody's different.
I'm just saying. You have every right to feel that way. But I don't think it would blend in harmony with the way the guy reacted to the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just chalked it off as he made a mistake. That happens, and guys make mistakes. And then to turn around and bench him as a result of it would be counterproductive to the way that he sort of forgave or covered for whatever the problem was there. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think, Dustin, you probably are right. I don't think they can afford to. I think they need this guy. And I think there's a reason that he plays every game, and it's because they need him. And it brings not only and you're right. When there are times he goes back and he'll pop out his glove at the last second and catch the ball, and he does it, you know, it's kind of – there's a little flair maybe, but it's – the nonchalance is sort of his signature. I've got that one. Yeah, don't worry about that. But I don't think it would blend in harmony with the way he responded yesterday to Ben Bencham today.
I appreciate the way you guys describe it and where you're coming from. But I would think that if you are going to have a standard and a disciplinary approach, you have to enforce that standard regardless of the standings and what kind of losing streak you might be in.
Yeah, but I also don't believe you can downplay the guy doing something that cost you a big run and then pretend like now you're going to hold him up to – I don't know. I think you're better off keeping him and playing him, and I would not bench him in a crucial game like this just because I think you're more likely to win with him than without him.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably need to win right now. You don't want what Dustin has said. You don't want to fall any farther behind. 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
It's just a mistake. Yeah, you just made a mistake. You know, obviously lost track of the outs, and it's just a mistake.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the voice of Craig Counsell, and he's talking about Pete Crow Armstrong, who lost track of the outs. He caught a ball in the outfield, and he allowed a run to score.
Yeah.
He didn't fire the ball back in to prevent it or attempt to prevent it. I'm not sure it would have prevented it.
I'm not sure it would have prevented him from getting to third base, but it would have prevented the run. The guy scored from second.
Yeah, I know.
It was definitely a mistake. And nonchalant is feeling or appearing casually calm and relaxed,
yes,
not displaying anxiety, interest, or enthusiasm. It typically is maybe applied in a maybe negative sense. It doesn't have to be, though.
There was no sense of urgency because he didn't know how many outs there were.
Yes, there basically was a casual approach to it, and the Cubs paid the price. They lose 8-7. It overshadows the fact that Jameson Taillon was on the mound for all of those runs, and he gave up 3 home runs. And that is something that you stated well, that right now, if that was a statement game, the statement was Jameson Taillon is a third starter.
I like the guy, and I think he's done well.
This Cub team is very likable.
They are likable.
They're very affable. They're very easy to pull for and to enjoy. That doesn't mean that they're immune to the kind of critique that you have when you see stuff happen like that. It doesn't make we talk all the time in every sport, every season, accountability, accountability, accountability. It's the most often used word in sports.
Yes.
All that we're saying and talking and discussing is how much accountability do you come out of last night, whether it's Jameson Taillon for the home run pitches he throws or Pete Carl Armstrong and the casual, nonchalant approach that he took.
And if we played Craig Counsell coming in, does that sound like a guy that's going to bench him today?
No.
It doesn't. And that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying you can't sound like that and sort of forgive the error and then hold him accountable the next day.
He's not that kind of manager either.
No.
I don't think he has proven to be that kind of manager. No. He's not Bobby Cox. He's not the guy that would pull out Andrew Jones because of a situation similar. He's not that guy to this point.
What do you think? Would you bench him? 312-644-6767 is the number. Have you seen enough of Pete Crow Armstrong? Have you had your fill of the guy? 312-644-6767.
PC absent-minded.
He went from PC All-Star to PC absent-minded. Right there, Professor. Yeah.
Yeah.
You forgot that, too. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.